Last Name Sports on the Sports Map Radio Network. From the Sports Map Radio studios, here's Greg Frank.
Well, perhaps there is no greater American tradition on the 4th of July than the Nathan's Hot Dog Eating Contest. And to talk about it, we bring on the legend himself, Joey Jaws. Joey Chestnut, kind enough to join us on the Progressive Guest Line. Joey, thank you for your time. How are you?
Oh, thank you for having me on. I'm excited and I'm hungry, brother.
I imagine this never gets old, right?
I don't know how I got so lucky. I got the best job in the world. I get to travel around, eat, beat the heck out of people, and make people happy. It's just unbelievable.
How'd you get your start?
I grew up in a big family. I was born the day after Thanksgiving, and eating was always a big deal in my house. And eventually, everybody knew I was the biggest eater, and eventually I got signed up to a contest when I was 21. Yeah, it was like love at first sight, and I realized I'm going to beat Kobayashi. And I ended up doing it again and again. And I'm just, like I said, living the dream.
Take me through that rivalry with Kobayashi and when you kind of became the man. And Matt Stoney got you in 2015. What was that like? Just in terms of some of the rivalries you've had with this event, what has it meant to you to be able to have some legitimate challengers along the way?
Oh, rivalries are great. And, you know, they force you to break through plateaus. With Kobayashi, he forced me when I started, his record was like 52. And, when I beat him, he did 63 and I did 66. Matt Stoney, the competition's amazing. When Matt Stoney beat me in 2015, it forced me to come back hungrier than ever. And I came back with a new world record. I think I ate more than 70 that year. And it's competition is it's beautiful, and it's also it's weird. You can't get lazy on people. If I get complacent, that's when somebody's going to take advantage of that and capitalize. And I need to make sure that I don't get lazy.
You know, when you mentioned some of the numbers there, earlier on, you talk about the records being in the 50s, then you get over 60s, you've been in the 70s in recent years. What have you done the last 15, 20 years or so to be able to expand upon that record? Is it just a matter of refining your craft? I mean, how do you get better at this?
Yeah, it's the biggest thing is I'm always looking to improve. And competitive eating, there's no books written about it. It's everything self-taught. You have to go through trial and error. And I don't have an ego about anything. I'm willing to try new things. I'll never say that my methods are absolutely the best. Like whether it's my fasting before the contest or certain supplements I'll take afterwards, make sure that things are digesting. I'm willing to keep an open mind and, the jaw exercises, throat exercises I do to make these little muscles stronger so they can handle the food. It's kind of crazy, but it works.
So take me inside your training regimen when it comes time to get ready for this event. When do you get started each year in terms of really, circling that July 4th date when it comes to, you know, the lead up to that? What's that like?
Yeah, so like right around February, I'm start really hardcore dieting. I'm trying to lose weight, start working out more. And come May, about 8 weeks out, that's when I start doing actual practices roughly once a week. I do a full on practice, videotape it, and before every practice is that cleanse and make sure I'm absolutely empty, and the full on practice. Then after practice is a recovery period where I'm trying to get back to my normal weight, which is hard. It takes a lot of discipline to make sure that a lot of eating super high fiber, low carb diet, making sure I can get back to normal weight, and then I go back into cleansing mode and try to do another practice and push it again. So, and then throughout that those weeks, I'm doing there's exercise routines for my jaws and my throat to keep everything strong.
We talked about how you've been able to get better each year and that number seems to be higher each year. So do you feel like you've done a good job in terms of self-scouting and figuring out what you can do to train better? I'm sure you're always trying to find ways to improve, but I'm sure looking back on how you got ready for this event 15 years ago to now, things have changed a lot, right?
Oh, baby. Yeah, things have definitely changed. Everything's changed. But that's normal. And the audience, it's gotten bigger. The fans, they have my back, and they're pushing me to a record. It's not like it's not pressure. They're supporting me and they're pushing me, and I'm gonna do everything I can to get deliver.
What's your message to people that say this is not a sport?
You know, it's all right if they don't think it is, and it's easy to be critical instead of looking at things. There used to be people who said that women's golf wasn't a sport. It's easy for people to be critical, but when people look at things and see things open their eyes, it's obvious it's a sport.
Yeah, do you feel like the perception around competitive eating has changed for the better the last 15, 20 years since you've really taken this event by storm?
I mean, for the most part, I'll admit, competitive eating is fun. It's a little bit goofy. It's out there, but when you look at how hard we're pushing, you look at the people who train, the people who have discipline, they definitely do better. There's people with technique, and there's some people with raw talent who don't train enough, and they waste their talent by being lazy. I think a lot of people can see it.
Joey Chestnut joining us here on the Progressive Guest Line, Nathan's Hot Dog Eating Contest, just about 24 hours out. And Joey, I'm curious, you mentioned the fans earlier, and obviously you're a big hit there every year on Coney Island. Over the years, I'm sure plenty of pictures, plenty of photographs, plenty of autographs. Is there a story, though, that stands out? Do you get noticed, or has somebody asked you to do something a little unorthodox for recognition? Like, what is a fan story of yours, if you have one, that really jumps out?
Oh, fan stories. Coney Island fan stories. I remember right off the top of my head. I'm just remembering, like, last year, after the 4th of July, I was leaving. And they're like, I was, like, surrounded by, like 100 of people. And then, like, the police had to help me get out of the area because I was still on crutches. And it was such a happy, happy place. 4th of July on Coney Island is it's just happy. It's electricity, and it's addicting. It's something that once you experience it, you're just like, wow, nothing's going to match that again.
All right, Joey, well, I know we've been spending a lot of time talking about your professional eating ventures, but I want to take you back to something that happened with me when I was in high school in an eating contest, if you'll play the judge, okay?
All righty.
All right, so it was my sophomore year of high school, and we did a wing bowl every Friday before the Super Bowl, and I came out red hot. I had 30 wings in the first round, and I was feeling really good about my chances to win. And the odds-on favorite for the event was a wrestler who showed up late. He had to make weight and do all the things that wrestlers have to do on days of their meets. And so he was late, and I felt I had a huge lead after the first round on the rest of the field, and I thought I was going to coast to victory. And they stalled 5, 10, 15 minutes, whatever it was, in between the first round and the start of the second round to let him back in. Eventually, he shows up, and they start playing to the crowd, and eventually they let the heavy favorite in. And that definitely changed my strategy a bit. Eventually, I got down to the semifinals and vomited and was disqualified from the event. And I threw such a temper tantrum that my junior and senior years, after this guy who was a senior at the time, would have moved on. They canceled the event, and so I didn't have a chance to have my moment. But I believe that I was robbed of a wing bowl championship my sophomore year. What say you?
That's a tragic story in so many ways. Oh my god! And
just playing to the crowd, they twisted the rules.
They twisted the rules, but then there's nothing like a disqualification. Getting sick. Oh, my God.
And I did train.
That lives with you. It sucks. You have to know your limits a little bit. You can't push to that limit.
So
part of it's your fault.
Wow. Okay, so you think it's a fair ruling?
You have to own it.
You think it's a fair ruling, though?
Oh, if you puked, if you heave, you leave.
Should the favorite have been allowed into the event?
He shouldn't have been. But okay. you have to own your own things. There's certain things you can't control, and there's certain things you can. And you should have controlled that better.
I guess that's a point for the administration at my high school. I didn't want them to win here, but I don't know. When Joey says it, I guess I got to listen.
I'm sorry. Yeah. Did you grow up in Philadelphia?
Yeah, South Jersey, yeah, just outside of Philly.
Dude, yeah, Wing Bowl is a wild thing.
Big deal. Yeah, absolutely. All right, Joey, thank you very much for your time, and I'm sure we'll chat again. I appreciate this.
Oh, thank you. You take care.